Ken Sabosky, welcome to Morning Edition.
Well, glad to be here, Carla.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I wanted to talk about what's happening in Topeka with the current legislative session, taxes and budget. And the main sticking point, as I understand it, is whether to let the 2010 increase in the state's sales tax expire in July as scheduled. And some lawmakers are concerned about deep cuts.
It's a 0.6%, I believe. And that was put in place by Governor Mark Parkinson, a former student of Wichita State University. In fact, he's a former student of mine. And he put that in place because the state was in a bit of a financial, having a problem. He was having to cut a lot of programs, and he did. A lot of things were being cut. So he says, let's do this, but let's make it temporary. And the idea was, as you pointed out, it's supposed to expire this coming July. Now, because of the enormous tax cuts and the income tax cuts that was put through last spring by the legislature, Governor Brownback has been pushing for some of these things, and they've been probably too much, too big. So they're searching for funds in various places. They were even thinking about taking it out of transportation, cutting parks, some other areas. You know, we could go on and on here. And they're searching for funds to make up for this big drop. And so there's a big fight going on between the Kansas State Senate and the Kansas State House of Representatives, and they haven't come to an agreement on this. There's going to have to be something worked out. But now the House apparently does not want to keep that 0.6 because we have a large number of new members. They promised no new taxes, and there are some people who are saying this is a new tax. Now, you're not letting it expire in July, so that's really a tax increase. And Senator Donovan met with the governor earlier this week. Les Donovan from Wichita is on the state Senate, and he and the governor talked about this, and he said, we think, I guess he included the governor on this, that we need to keep that. Yes, I think they do because of the steep income tax cuts that were put in place last year. They're going to have to make up somehow or another for this deficit.
Now, I wonder how that's going to affect our public schools in terms of funding.
Well, that's another issue. And now, I think the governor essentially has argued, well, in fact, they've argued they've increased funding since he's been governor. And I think maybe it's probably going to affect more higher education. I think the governor in January, at his so-called State of the State speech, said he wanted to keep higher education funding flat and that sort of thing. And he's really working toward that. And I think the public schools, basically, I was trying to recall what he proposed on that. But anyhow, I think it's probably pretty much flat.
What about the abortion bill?
Well, that's a real tough one. And in fact, they just debated here. I have never seen state government in such a topsy-turvy. I mean, things have really been just conflict and controversy and so on. It's gotten, if you've gone to some of these meetings here the legislators have had, man, people are, there are a lot of irate people. They're really upset about things. But anyhow, just earlier here, Monday of this week, the bill was debated. For 3 hours, they endured amendments, acrimonious debate and amendments, placing in law a declaration that life begins at fertilization, banning abortion clinic volunteers from participating in sex education classes in public schools, and eliminating state tax breaks for clinics performing abortions. Critics of this say they're trying to get rid of abortion in this state. This is what this is geared toward. The anti-abortion legislation contained language directing physicians to provide information to women that raises the potential that abortions will cause breast cancer. Now, there's been evidence that abortions are not causing breast cancer, but this is another wrinkle in this whole thing. Anyhow,
that the bill's getting ready to go to the governor, though. It appears the Senate tweaked it and sent it back to the House.
And let's don't forget, you know, I wish voters would pay attention to the backgrounds and the values and the orientations and so on that people running for office might have. I wish we had a way of checking that out more thoroughly. So what am I speaking about here? Well, the governor he's an anti-abortion person. So obviously he's in favor of legislation that's going to restrict abortion somehow, that's going to deal with this. But I would suspect if this goes too far and so on, that there could be some appeals from what the state action is to a court, to a federal court.
I understand the first bill that Governor Brownback signed during the session deals with the Court of Appeals judges appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, and how this law changes how the appeals court judges are selected.
The system, I think, has worked quite well. I do. He wants to make an appointment to the court, get rid of this system, make the appointments there, and I think it's a major power grab. It is a power grab. He's got the governorship now. He essentially has a legislature in many ways, and now we're going to have the courts. So where's your separation of powers at the state level even? There won't be any kind of check. And there have been testimony that our system right now works pretty well. Somebody who testified up there, a local attorney here, a very prominent attorney, he looked up there at the all the pictures of the judges we've had since this new system was installed in 1950s, late 50s. And he says, you know, this system has worked really well. We've had some good judges and we've had some bad judges. And he says, the good ones have come under the present system. So I think it's fraught with problems.
Dr. Sabosky, I wanted to ask you about the status of Brownback's reading reform bill. I understand the measure would target elementary schools with reading scores below the state average.
Right. I think it remains to be seen yet exactly what's going to come out in the final, you know, after they have this month of furlough after this week's session. But some local educators, individuals in the schools who are involved with reading programs, argue that kids learn at different ways, different times, and so on. Some maybe a little bit later and some maybe a little bit earlier. But I think the key thing here is early education, maybe preschool, not daycare, but preschool. It would do a lot, I think, toward overcoming the business of literacy and reading and so on in the schools. You know, it's terrible. I've had students tell me that they know kids in high school can't read the words on a page when they graduate. Now, that's amazing, see. So we don't want to just push students along who can't read. But I really think that if the governor and the state legislature are concerned about this, they ought to spend some money on preschool kinds of orientations and do something before they go to school.
Kenneth Sabosky is Associate Professor of Political Science at Wichita State University. Thank you, Dr. Sabosky, for joining me during Morning Edition.
Well, thank you.